You're tuned to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood. I have on the phone with me State Representative Tony Juergens, and I'd like to welcome you to the program, Tony.
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon to you, and always nice to be on.
It is. It's good to have you. Of course, our segment today is still going to be centered around how COVID is affecting our society at this time from both a local perspective and maybe a state legislature perspective. Let's start with some news that has come down from Governor Walz regarding reopening businesses or relaxing some of those stay-at-home directive terms. Tell me about that a little bit.
Mike, kind of as we've talked about in the past, that when businesses were shut down, it happened pretty quickly. And the thought has been that as they open up, it'll be more gradual. And that seems to be what the governor is doing now by relaxing some of the restrictions. He has not either extended or let the May 4th stay-at-home order expire yet. But starting on Monday, the day that this is airing, he is allowing some businesses to reopen, which is a good sign. Companies that are manufacturing or have office workers are able to reopen. They need to have a preparedness plan in place. The Department of Labor and Industry has templates that the employers can use if they choose to. They don't have to submit this plan to the state, but at any time the state could ask to see it. So I think it's in the best interest of the companies to do that, of the businesses to do that. And for one thing, their employees want to see it too. They want to know what types of precautions are being put in place. So those workers will be able to start going back in. They'll engage in health screening every day on arrival, so their temperature will be taken and questions will be asked about any of the symptoms to see if they have those. And the governor also recommended that if they are still able to telework, encourage them to do that, because that is a safer way to do business if they're able to do that.
Right. And we were talking just before the segment started about how some retailers are even beginning to question if they can do curbside retailing, kind of like the restaurants and those other businesses can do. What's the status on that?
Yeah, we've had some local retailers reach out to ask if they could sell their products and deliver it curbside like you would with for your dinner from a restaurant. And it makes sense to me to be able to do that. We reached out to the Department of Economic Development and did not get the answer we were hoping for. In fact, it was a very vague answer, which I think they did on purpose. They didn't want to give a lot of details, but their reasoning is that at this point in time that is not allowed unless the product is essential. Now, they didn't define what essential is. To me, clothing would be essential. So people are free, I guess, to use their own judgment on that unless they hear otherwise. So I've been in contact also working with the Minnesota Retailers Association on that same issue. They have their members from all over the state that have that same concern. So
I think
we'll continue working with the governor's office to try to get some leeway there and open that up. It can be just as safe as it is, to get your dinner. And, you could go online and buy a pair of pants from online at Amazon and have that delivered. Why not drive to a retailer in Hastings or Cottage Grove to pick that same product up?
I want to see the drive-through haircuts. That's all.
Drive-through haircuts?
Yeah. Drive up, sit in your car, poke your head out, and have your haircut taken care of. I know that's another.
I think that sounds like a good business idea that you should pursue that, Mike. I want to see that.
KDWA Radio and Barbers. There you go. And
that's right.
That's what it's all about.
I've said before. I've mentioned this before, that I grew up in South Dakota, and one thing that's common there that you don't see here is drive-through liquor stores.
Mm-hmm.
You drive up and tell them what you want, and they'll bring it to the window or pass it to the window, and you're on your way.
There you go. And going back to the issue of the Department of Economic Development being kind of vague about that, that just sounds to me like it's a situation of, I would say, within reason, do it until they tell you not to.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it depends on what the product is.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And there are a lot of essential products that we think that you should be able to sell. So that might be a step in the right direction. And again, those retailers, whether downtown Hastings or wherever they are, they should be also working on their own preparedness and their own plans for when mm-hmm. they are able to bring their customers back and bring their employees back and be able to post online or on Facebook or wherever what their plan is for cleaning and disinfecting and social distancing and all those things to keep everyone safe. I think that the customers will want to see that. They'll be more apt to come back into the stores knowing that those types of precautions are being made.
Exactly. Another issue that has kind of cropped up is around the Small Business Administration federal loan program for paycheck protection and that kind of thing. A situation has arisen where there's a question on whether or not that income is taxable and where it might be taxable. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that was interesting. So when these programs were first put in place, I remember hearing at the federal level, people were asking, well, if we get a small business loan that is then forgiven, is that taxable income? At the federal level, they were saying, no, it's not. That won't be considered income. But what I just learned recently is that in the state of Minnesota, that would be considered income. So we have some movement in place to try to pass legislation quickly to undo that, because you know, these programs are put in place to help businesses. What we don't want to happen is months down the road for them to get a big invoice from the state of Minnesota saying, hey, remember that loan you got that you didn't have to pay back? It was forgiven and turned from a loan into a grant. Well, now you have to pay income tax on that too. I think businesses are going to be struggling enough to get back on their feet after this that we don't need to be taxing them on top of that. Now, as far as the tax dollars, that money was never counted on or never expected from the state of Minnesota, so it's not like that would have an impact on any of our budget forecast, because that was never expected or counted on or forecasted or budgeted for anyway. So, if we were to take another tax and cut it, well, we'd have to figure out where that money is going to come from then to make up for that. This money was never counted on in the first place, so it's not something that we would have to account for from a budgetary standpoint either.
Exactly. The taxable part of that may have come into the state, you would have to treat it as kind of like a windfall. It wasn't, like you're saying, we didn't put it in our equations anywhere. It just, because of this COVID, it kind of showed up. If the legislature, do they have a deadline to act on that before that state tax part of it is undoable or irreversible, let's say?
Well, you know, we're only going to be there for another 4 weeks unless a special session is called. And at some point, the governor has, and Myron Franz, the Commissioner of Management and Budget, has talked about doing an updated budget forecast. So we would want that legislation to move through fairly quickly. In fact, in the coming days, hopefully, we'll be able to fast-track that. Just so that those tax dollars would not be counted in any further or future forecasts. So the sooner we can address that, the better. And, you know, you mentioned that it could be considered a windfall for the state, and it could, as increased revenue coming into the state, but on the backs of the businesses, and that's
right.
What I don't think would be fair. So,
sure.
We're going to have, there's no question, we're going to have a very difficult budget situation in the coming months and possibly years, depending on how long it takes to get our economy ramped back up and cranked up and going. And we're going to have some tough decisions to be made. We're hoping for a sizable chunk of money coming from the federal government. There's questions right now about who will have the authority to decide where that money is spent, whether the governor will have sole discretion on that as part of his peacetime emergency authority, or if the legislature will be involved. Those are all questions that we still have to have answers to, but, it'll come down to some very tough decisions. Is this funding going to go to education, or is it going to go to local government aid, or is it going to go to roads and bridges? It's you know, my suspicion will be a combination of all those things, but how that gets spent is first of all, we need to know how much is coming and then where we need to spend that to keep our economy going and do the best that we can to operate from a surplus side versus deficit, even though it's not unheard of or unlikely that we might end up in a deficit for this time next year.
Sure. And another aspect or another element of that equation on property taxes for businesses, that filing deadline is still on the 15th. And there's indications that the filing deadline and those payments being due for the first half won't change. But it looks like there might be some movement to suspend interest and late fees on that. Is there anything from the legislature on that?
Yeah, I think the counties would have preferred to have that come down from the state and be uniform across all 87 counties. And there's just so much difference from one county to the other that it doesn't look like that's a direction that we're going to take. But each individual county can make the decision not to change the due date of May 15th, but like you said, they can waive late fees, they can waive penalties. So in effect, they're pushing, even though they're not technically changing the due date, they are pushing it out to give the business owners a little extra time in order to make those payments when they're able to do, or when they're not able to make them on time. You know, if you're paying your property taxes through your escrow, most likely you can continue, those payments can continue to go on May 15th or as they normally would. But in a lot of business cases, it has helped them out immensely to be able to push that out 1 or 2 months.
Exactly. And I had recently learned, too, that the big issue with pushing out a deadline or the filing date or whatever that is, it has to do with those escrow or non-escrow accounts. And how do you treat that equitably across the whole spectrum?
Right. And Commissioner Slavik has said, and he's a better source for this than I am, I don't want to speak for him, but he has said that Dakota County, when they receive those funds, they're going to pay those out to the local government and to the schools, and, you know, as quickly as possible. So they're not going to sit on or hold those funds. They'll turn those around as quickly as possible, knowing that those other local government they're waiting for those funds. They're relying on that money.
Right. Another thing that has been affected now by the COVID situation is our summer festivals seem to be going by the wayside a little bit. What have you learned from your position as to what's going on with things like Strawberry Fest and Rivertown Days?
Yeah, I really feel bad for the organizers of those events. They put a lot of time into it year-round, not just, you know, we think of Rivertown Days for the third week in July, but the preparations start months ahead of time. And in Strawberry Fest, I know that they're working year-round in Cottage Grove to put that festival together and fundraising and different events and button contests and things like that. So I really feel bad for the people that put that much time and effort into it. And both in recent days, the Cottage Grove Strawberry Festival and now more recently the Hastings Rivertown Days have determined that those events will be canceled for this year or postponed until next year. And I think those are difficult decisions to make. I think in both cases it was the right decision to make, even though people look forward to those events. It's kind of a rite of passage for the summer. You just know at different times of the summer where the festival is that you want to go to and get your Pronto Pups or your mini donuts and watch the entertainment or whatever it is that you like to do. And unfortunately, we won't have the opportunity to do that this year. But maybe people just look forward to that much more to go back to that in 2021. Of course, we're still not sure. I think there are indications that the state fair might fall victim to that as well, although nothing official has been determined. Recently, the governor was asked that question in one of his daily briefings, and you know, he said how much he likes the state fair. I know in recent years I've started going more and more, spending more time out at the state fair myself. But it's kind of the exact opposite of social distancing when you get to the state fair. So
exactly.
My prediction and everyone else too that I've talked to seems very, very likely that the state fair will not happen this year. But nothing official has been said at this point. We can, you never know how things might. Maybe things will turn around quickly. But at this point, doesn't look very promising. And it would just be so difficult. I was thinking, well, what if you limited the fair to a certain number of people per day? And that just wouldn't work. For one thing, the vendors count on those big
yep.
crowds in order to, sell their products, their goods, their service, their whatever it is on the stick that they're selling. And if you were to limit it just wouldn't work very well, I don't think, to be able to try to limit the number of fairgoers each day. So, it seems to me that it's kind of an all or nothing. And unfortunately, it will probably end up being nothing this year.
Yeah, I'm also going to be checking out starting next week to see if the Washington County Fair or the Dakota County Fair, if there's any information on whether or not those are going to happen, because they generally happen earlier in the summer before the state fair. So if a regional festival...
Early August, I believe.
Yep. So if you have a regional festival like Strawberry Fest or Rivertown Days that is not going to be going on, and those are smaller community ones, you can only imagine that the county fairs would also follow suit. The time is just about gone.
We talked a few weeks ago that I was in touch with Warren Petrick, the state representative across the river, and we had intended to meet up at Cheese Curd Days in Ellsworth, and that got canceled a week or two ago, too, so we'll have to make other plans there.
We have just about a minute left, Representative Juergens, and so I would like, again, to give you the opportunity to provide your contact information if people have questions or concerns and they would like to get in touch with you.
You can email me at rep.tony.juergens@house.mn or call 651-296-3135.
All right. You have been listening to KDWA's in-depth community in-depth program. I'm Mike Rood, your host for this segment. I'd like to thank Representative Juergens for his time today, and we look forward to speaking with you again next time on Community In-Depth.
Very good, Mike. Thank you, and be well.
I will, and you too as well. This is KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7.